Take your Bible, if you will, this morning to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I was thinking while we were singing that song, I think, at Dad's funeral. And because Dad really loved that song, and he believed it, and I think he lived it too. So what a blessing it is to learn to live by faith. Just trusting God and asking Him to take the lead and then letting Him do it. So Matthew chapter 7, if you will, this morning. I hope you do have your Bible. We're going to read some scripture in Matthew chapter 7. Then we're going to skip way over to Matthew chapter 8 and read a few verses there. So if you do have your Bible, if you'll follow along with us, please. While you're turning there, I want to present something to the church. I mentioned to you Brother Leek and their need. One other need they have is they have a need for their family's homeschool materials for their kids for this coming year. And Brother Leek mentioned that in a letter that he wrote, and the September letter. And so I believe the Lord maybe would have us help them in that as a church. And so, I would like to recommend to our church that we send him $500 to help with that, to get the homeschool material. They've got, half a dozen kids or so, something like that. I think they've got five that are still in school. One graduated last year. And I think it'd be a blessing maybe if we'd be a blessing to them and send them $500. And I just want to know, is that agreeable with the church? If you say it is, would you raise your hand? Y'all in favor of that? All right. Anybody opposed to that? Okay. I didn't think maybe somebody you wanted to send it yourself, and that's okay. If you do, just add to it. That'll be fine. All right, good deal. Matthew chapter 7, would you look, if you will, in verse 21. The Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." I want you to notice that last verse where the Bible said he taught them as one having authority. Now look in chapter 8, verse 5, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And I want you to notice in verse 9 where that centurion said, "I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me." I want to speak to you this morning on the question of authority. The question of authority. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth and he taught, the Bible tells us that the folks that heard him teach, they said he speaks as one having authority, because he did have authority. He had that authority. For years, I'll be honest, I've been concerned by a change that I've seen take place in people in my lifetime, and it's becoming more and more apparent all the time. And it's only gotten worse as the years have gone by. We've seen it displayed on television. We're seeing the fruits of that change around our land today. And by the way, it doesn't bring forth good fruit, all right? Not good fruit whatsoever. And the change I speak of has to do with this thing called authority. Authority. Respect for authority and obedience to authority is disappearing, I believe, from the land, even from the culture in which we live. We've lost that respect for authority. I remember when people respected authority. There was a day when people had great respect for the authority, for instance, of pastors, preachers. And there was a day when people respected the police officers. There was a day when there was great respect for people in high authority, and that respect was displayed. Hey, the truth of the matter is, there was a day when people just respected each other. Respected each other. But we live in a day where I see that falling away. And so I want to talk to you this morning from the Word of God, not from my opinion, but from the Word of God about the question of authority. And the first thing I want you to see is that authority is authorized. The authority that's given is authorized. First thing I want you to consider is the authority of the Bible is authorized. The authority of the Word of God. I've got several scriptures, and if you can turn very quickly, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 is the first one. If you can't get there, just listen. The Bible says there in Isaiah 55, 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." John chapter 5, verse 39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." That was the Lord speaking. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 46, "And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law." Listen, the word, the Bible itself, is given the authority by God. It's given the authority by God. The Bible tells us that God says, "My word shall never pass away." Never pass away. There's a lot of books that have been written that have passed away. Every once in a while, I'll run across the title of a book, and I'll think, man, I would like to read that book. And then I've got a website that I go to that I've bought a lot of books through, and I'll look for it. And there have been a few occasions when I'll go there, and I can't find that book. It's out of print, and boy, usually I can find it at that book, you know, that's bookfinder.com, and I'll go there and I can find it. But a lot of books, out of print, hard to find. I'm going to tell you, the Word of God, have you noticed it's not out of print? They've been printing this book for thousands of years. Thousands of years. Why? God said it'll never pass away. Why? It's a book with authority. Authority. When I stand here in the pulpit and preach to you, I'm not interested in preaching to you what I've got to say. I want you to know what God has to say. My word doesn't have the authority this word has. It's the Word of God. So the authority of the Bible is authorized by God. He says again and again, it's my word. It's my word. And he's given it to us and said it'll always be there. But that's not the only authority that's authorized. Take your Bible in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to notice a verse here, and then we're going to go and read a verse in Colossians chapter 3. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, if you will, verse 1, very, very simple verse. It's one of those verses, you know, we'll read it, and you'll say, you know, I can't understand that old King James Bible. You won't have any trouble understanding. Ephesians 6:1, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now remember that verse, go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, just a little further along in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. You're going to say, boy, this sounds familiar. It does. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." You said, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm saying to you that the authority of parents is authorized. Amen. It is an authorized authority. There can be no doubt that God gave the authority to parents over their children. Over their children. I've said for years, as long as mom and dad were alive, they were still an authority over me. You say, "Man, you're a full-grown man." Yeah, too full-grown, all right? But just because I'm grown doesn't mean that authority's gone. Doesn't mean it's gone. I respected my parents to the extent, man, if I'd have been 35 years old and my dad said, "Son, I'm fixing to whip your rear end." He said, "What would you have done?" I'd have let him do it. I'd let him do it. I believe he had some authority over me, all right? Children are commanded to obey their parents. Children are commanded to obey their parents. Hey, that is a God-given position of authority. Authority. Children, obey your parents, all right? Why? It's well-pleasing unto the Lord. Hey, it's right. It's right to do. That position of authority is given by God to parents. But there's other authority that is authorized. Look with me in Romans chapter 13, would you? Romans chapter 13. I want you to see what the Bible says, all right? Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." Amen. Hey, listen, the power of the government is authorized by God. It's authorized. God tells us we're to respect that power. We're to obey that power, all right? We're to listen to it, all right? Those government officials, the Bible calls them in verse 4, a minister of God to thee for good. Good. Hey, that's governmental authority. Can I say this to you? That includes police officers. That includes police officers. They're governmental authority. And the authority of government is authorized. Now, we're going to come back to it. Hang in there, all right? We're just covering it all. Hey, not only there other authority that's given. Go to Hebrews. Well, let's go to Ephesians. Well, I'll just change the order up. We'll get to Ephesians before we get to Hebrews. So go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're just talking about the fact that God has authorized authority. Amen. Authority is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's authorized by God. Now, some people are not going to like verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 5, but it is the word of God. The Bible says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Hey, I want to tell you, God has put some authority in the husband. God has put some authority. Now, before you men start patting yourself on your back and looking at your wife and say, "Are you listening to him?" I just want to point out to you, the position of authority puts a huge amount of responsibility on you in authority. Huge amount. Can I say this to you? And I feel like I need to because I know how people think in this day and age. You will answer to God for that authority you have. You will answer to God for how you exercise the authority you have. It will take place. So I just want you to see the authority of the husband is authorized. Now, I'm not preaching on that subject completely today. But it doesn't mean you're the dictator, fellas. All right? It doesn't mean, okay, get out your whip and crack it. Woman, are you listening? You've already got too far. We'll cover that in a minute, all right? Now, the authority of the husband is authorized in the Word of God. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. If you will, I want you to look at two verses with me. Verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. The Bible here in Hebrews 13, 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Now verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Hey, you say, "Preacher, what's the Bible talking about here?" This is talking about pastoral authority. Pastoral authority. Hey, pastoral authority is authorized by God. It's authorized by God. All right? You say, "The only reason you're preaching that is because you're the pastor." No, I'm preaching because it's in the Bible. All right? It's in the Word of God. But I want to tell you, I do like what verse 17 says, that they must give an account and they may do it with joy. Amen. With joy. I want to tell you something. Your pastor, you that are members of this church, this pastor right here wants to be able to give an account for you with joy. Amen. With joy, because you've served the Lord. All right? Look forward to that. Are you with me? Authority is authorized. Authority is authorized. The authority of the Bible is authorized. The authority of parents is authorized. The authority of government is authorized. Pastoral authority is authorized. The authority of the husband is authorized. Those things are authorized authority. They're legitimate. They're legitimate. Now, the second point, and I had to get here in a hurry because I know how people think. Authority has been and can be abused. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And boy, I know that. I know people sitting there thinking, "Yeah, wait a minute, yeah, I know that's where you're going. I'm going to get there." Authority can be abused. Has it been? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Every level of authority at some point, and people have abused their power. Without a doubt, authority's been abused. Hey, despots, dictators, and despicable folks have abused the authority God has given thee. Oh, yes, they have. That has happened on numerous occasions. It's not, unfortunately, a rare thing that that's taken place. Parents have abused their authority. Man, it makes my blood run cold to hear a story about children that have been found in squalid, nasty conditions. They're way underweight, way undersized because they've been starved by their stinking parents. What do you say? Hey, they've abused their authority. They've abused their authority. This is really not part of the sermon, but I think we ought to abuse those parents, okay? We won't go there right now, but hey, yes, authority can be abused. Has a pastor ever abused his authority? Yes. Yes. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. The only authority I have with you folks is in a spiritual vein. I don't believe God's given me authority to come along and tell you, "Hey, listen, I think you need to buy this house." God didn't give that authority to me. Amen. Or this is the car you should buy. No, God didn't give me that authority. You need to change jobs. God didn't give me that authority. Now, if you want to ask him advice, I'll be happy to try to give you advice based on what I think I know and the wisdom that I have. But God didn't send me here to rule over you in that respect. He didn't send me here. That's out of my authority. That's an abuse of my authority, okay? Hey, let's talk about it. Senators and representatives. I believe they've abused their authority. But I want to tell you this, I'm not in favor of getting rid of all senators and representatives. Now, the ones that abuse their authority, let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of them. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. Some parents have abused their authority. Let's get rid of the ones that do that, all right? Just deal with them. Hey, the fact that some have abused their authority doesn't mean all authority needs to be dissolved. But we live in a day where it seems like people thinking that way. And we live in a day where people are saying, let's defund the police. You've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. Well, there's some that have done wrong. Yeah, because they're human beings. We're flawed creatures. And some of them have. What do we do? Deal with them. But don't indict everybody. Don't indict everybody. Hey, listen. I don't like it when preachers mess up. I don't like it when preachers mess up. Because when preachers mess up, it involves me. And I haven't done it. I haven't been involved in it. But people begin to look at you a little funny. That's not fair. That's not fair. Charles back here, Brother Lowry, he's a truck driver. Any of you ever been run off the road by a truck driver? Was he driving a Crete? It was him! All right, no, all right. I don't think so. But some people, you say, well, man, he did something wrong. Okay, so let's crucify them all, right? Well, that's not fair. Pick your profession. I don't care what it is. Somebody in your profession's messed up, done wrong, and they've abused their position, but we don't get rid of them, all right? Let's just deal with the ones that mess up. But I'll tell you this, here's, I think, a bigger problem than authority that's been abused. Authority's been abdicated. Amen. There are multitudes of people that have abdicated their authority. Back in 1936, I believe it was 1936, King Edward VIII of England abdicated the throne of England because he wanted to marry this American woman. And it's broadcast nowadays as the great love story, all right? Hey, I don't know, but he abdicated the throne. But he didn't just walk off. There was a procedure, somebody to replace him. Hey, we live in a day where people are abdicating their authority and there's nobody to take their place. Nobody to take their place. Parents, in many occasions, have abdicated their authority in the home. You look around, you see what's going on with juveniles. We call them juvenile delinquents. A lot of the reason we have juvenile delinquents is because we got adult delinquents. We've got parents that have abdicated their responsibility and their authority as parents. Listen, God put you as a parent in the home to be the authority in the home, okay? And so many today have abdicated it, and they've walked away from it, you know. They've given it over. They said, well, I'm done. I quit. I'm not trying anymore. Junior's such a problem, and juniorette, all right, is such a problem. I'm done. Well, get over it. You have a place of authority. You can't just abdicate that position. Hey, I'll tell you, there's pastors across the land today that I believe still pastoring, and they've abdicated their authority to preach the whole counsel of God, and they've gone to doing nothing but preaching that which tickles the ears and satisfies egos. They've abdicated the position of authority they have and should be exercising. God help us. God help us in that case. Hey, government leaders have abdicated their authority in our day to lead. To lead. Rather than, you know, hold up their finger to see which way the wind's going and say, okay, that's the way we'll go. It's like the guy that says, okay, I'm the leader. Where do you want to go? Well, you're not the leader. If you're the leader, you're the one saying this is where we're going. This is where we're going. You know, you fellows that served, you maybe some of you ladies served in the military. Your lieutenant or your sergeant, the leadership was not, all right, fellows, let's get together, let's vote. No, they didn't do that. They said, here's where we're going, let's go. And there wasn't a survey, All right, how many of you guys feel like a 10-mile hike today with a full pack? Let's see the hands. Okay, I guess we're not doing that today. That would have never happened. Hey, you're the leader. You're the leader. Governmental leaders have abdicated their leadership roles. They're no longer leading. It's more a matter of saying, well, hey, where do you want to go? Or what do you want? They've pulled back from it. Husbands have abdicated their leadership role in the home. Sadly, in our day, in many cases, they're absolutely absent from the home. What a mess. What a mess. We've got a problem. Hey, here's the problem. The absence of authority. See, when authority's abdicated, the absence of authority is anarchy. Is anarchy. Two places in the Scripture, the Bible says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know what that is? That's anarchy. That's anarchy. If everybody gets together and says, I'll just do what I want to do, and you just do what you want, that's anarchy. That's found in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6 and chapter 21 and verse 25. You say, well, it worked out okay. Check it out. Check out the history of Israel in those years. It was a disaster. They were constantly being conquered by other people. And God would have to send a judge in to help them out. And they'd fight the battle and get back in control. And then, boy, after a few years, they went back to doing their own thing. Another country comes in, conquers them again. Over and over and over again. That's the story through the whole book. Why? Because there was anarchy. Anarchy. Folks, I'll tell you, I believe anarchy reigns a lot in the streets of a lot of cities in this country today because the authority in that city is not doing its job or has been forbidden to do its job. When that happens, we have anarchy. Burning, looting, violence, beatings, killings. Why? Anarchy. Anarchy. That which is the authority is not doing their job. It is not doing their job. When husbands don't exercise the authority, chaos reigns in homes. Chaos reigns in homes. Children are left to struggle through life on their own. Or wives just have the job dropped on them. Hey, I want to say something. That's not mama's role. That's not mom's job. Not her job at all. Hey, some ladies have done an amazing job. But it really wasn't their job. Wasn't their job. If you're at work, it's your place of employment, and other employees begin to put their work on you, how do you feel? Amen. Oh, no problem. Send it on. I love it. Just load me up. No, you don't feel that way. Matter of fact, you get mad. Well, if I'm going to get this extra work, I want to get paid for it. Pay me more. We get excited. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hey, same situation in homes. Parents abdicate their responsibility. There's no authority. Husbands abdicate their no authority. No authority. You got kids that are left. Can I say this to you? There's not a child in the world, not a child in this world that is able to run the home. They're not made for that. God didn't give your kids to you to tell you what to do. You're supposed to be the authority. Now, there's not a child in the world that hasn't tried. I'm sure at some time my brother did. He said, why didn't you? I saw what happened to him, all right? And no, I don't think so. At some point, no, that's not their job. That's not their job. God put children in homes. Hey, one reason God put them there, and God put the parents in the authority and the dad, the head. You know why? So you'd learn how to handle authority, so you'd learn how to commune with God. Because he's the authority. And we'd learn how to respect that.
Amen.
Respect that kind of thing. Authority. It's important. It's important. Well, it's important we do it. Hey, I want to say this to you. When pastors fail to lead, we see churches that wander. People scatter. They come ensnared by the world. It leads to spiritual disaster. What a mess. Why? Because people don't take the authority position that God's authorized them to do. And that authority lets off. Can I say this? Authority must be adhered to. You said, why? I want you to go with me to Jeremiah chapter 10. This is a universal truth, and it's always true. It'll always be true. It will never not be true until the Lord comes back. All right? Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, a verse that just, there it is, all right? It just stands out and it indicts every one of us. It indicts every one of us. Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps.
Amen.
Hey, I just want to do my thing. Well, that'll be a disaster. That'll be a disaster. Hey, we got people in some areas of our land, they're doing their thing every night. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. Absolute disaster. Why? We can't control ourselves. That's why God put the authority on this earth. And by the way, there's several levels of it. Did you notice that? There's several levels of authority. It's there. God knew that we humans needed authority. We need somebody to tell us what to do. But we resent it when they do. Because why? Because we're sinners. We resent that. And that's the thing, more and more through the years, I begin to see people more and more resent. I don't want you telling me what to do.
Amen.
But we need somebody telling us what to do.
Yes,
now, personally, I'm glad there's somebody telling us what to do.
Right.
I'm glad that there's some fellows that wear these uniforms,
yes, sir,
and carry a weapon,
yes, sir,
and drive a vehicle with extra lights.
Yes,
sir. Yes, I have had one of them stop me. And I was never happy when they did. Never happy. I never thought, oh boy, I get to meet somebody new. Never thought that. Immediately it was, what have I done? Or immediately I knew what I'd done. And I'm, oh great. This is going to be wonderful. But now just between me and you, I'm glad they're there. Now I despise paying a ticket. I hate paying a ticket. It's like just throwing money away. But I realize the necessity for authority. Do you see how some people drive when there is authority? Can you imagine how people would drive if there was no authority? Man, I'd just soon not be on the road. Some of y'all are dangerous enough with the authority, all right? I mean, we need to be careful. Thank God. God knew that we humans needed authority.
Amen.
Hey, when you were born, you came into this world with an attitude.
That's exactly right.
You came into the world with an attitude of, I want my way.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So you as a baby learned to, what's wrong? Not a thing in the world. You just wanted some attention. That's it. You just wanted that attention. They'd come along, that parent come along, stick their hand under your back, you'd quit crying.
Yep.
They'd take it out, you'd cry again.
Yep.
There wasn't nothing wrong with you. You just wanted your way. You just wanted your way. We see the same thing. Kids, they come in and say, man, I want a cookie, but you can't have one. I'm going to hold my breath till I pass out. Well, go ahead. Yeah, I'd suggest you sit down or lay down before you do that, but... If you want to do it standing up, have at it, you know, all right? Hey, kids need authority.
Yes, sir.
You needed it.
Oh, yes.
Now, I like to say things where people can't go home and say, I didn't understand him. Kids need authority because kids are stupid. I did stupid stuff. Man, as dumb as could be. The only reason I survived was the grace of God, all right? I did stupid things. But I had some parents that realized, hey, we've got the authority over that fellow. And they taught me some things. And they taught me, they exercised their authority. I'm glad they did. Boy, am I glad they did. You and I need that authority. God said you need it. When it's adhered to, when authority is adhered to, there's peace, there's security. I'm going to tell you something, there's happiness. There's happiness. Hey, you want to find an unhappy home? You get in a home where everybody does their own thing. Get in a home where everybody does their own thing. You want to see somebody unhappy? There's some unhappy people. Man, mom and dad aren't happy. The kids doing their own thing. They're not happy. Nobody's happy. All you do is you have moments of calm, you know, maybe at best a shaky truce for a few moments. Nobody's happy. Why? Nobody's exercising the authority they should. Nobody's doing that. And kids climbing all over everything, you know. I remember being in a home one time and a little kid, he just a little fella, but he was acting up. And his mom said, now, don't do that. Now, don't do that. And I finally told her, ma'am, if you want to get up and just wear him out, that'll be okay. I won't mind. At his age, I said, well, if you start now, it'll be easier.
That's right. Yes,
sir. Why? They need to know there's some authority.
Amen.
There's some authority. There's some authority. The refusal to submit to authority is nothing but rebellion.
Amen.
Just rebellion. Hey, that's what we see happening in schools. Rebellion. That's what we see happening in homes. Rebellion. That's what we see happening on the streets of our land. Rebellion. Rebellion. I don't want any authority over me. I want to do what I want to do. I do not want you to tell me what to do. I do not want to tell me what to do. Listen, I'm not defending everything every policeman's ever done. But I'm going to tell you something. If a policeman tells you to stop, I suggest you stop. I suggest you stop. When I was growing up as a kid, that's what I was taught. Hey, when they tell you to do something, do it. Do it. And if friend, I'll tell you, if we'd learn to respect authority, there'd be a lot less problems. And you say, well, there's abuse. I understand that. The abuse can be dealt with. But you and I need to have respect for authority. It's necessary. It's necessary. Take your Bible, if you will, and we're going to be done. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Would you turn there with me? James chapter 4. Would you look with me in verse 7? Verse 7. Here's where submission to authority starts. Here's where it starts. And let me say this while you're turning there. I'm just like you. I'm a human being. There are times that I really resent somebody telling me what to do. But I have to stop and think. God instituted that authority. And he didn't institute it and say to me, as long as you like it, you can cooperate with it. No, he said, you need to show the respect for authority. But I don't have to like it. I've never liked it when I got stopped by a police officer. Never. Never enjoyed it. But I never wanted to pay the ticket. But I deserved it. There's been occasions when I've been stopped and the police officer said, I'm just going to warn you this time. I wanted to get out and hug him. Oh, thank you, thank you. But he had the authority to give me a ticket. Had the authority to give me a ticket. Here's where submission to authority starts. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Let me say that one more time. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. to God. That's where submission starts. That's where respect for authority starts. We submit ourselves to God. The Bible goes along and says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But it begins with submission to God. Flip over way towards the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2, would you? 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to see this verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, 14, and 15. The Bible says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Hey, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I'll tell you, the Bible's pretty plain. The Bible's pretty plain. The Bible teaches us we're to submit to authority. We're to submit to authority. Now, there's different levels and different aspects of authority. But we're to submit to that authority. And he says it'll put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Hey, we're to do that. But it begins with submission to God. Submission to God. Oh, my soul, we need to return to respect for authority that's been constituted by God. His authority. Now, we live in a time where people don't want to even recognize the authority of God. But I'm going to tell you something. He's got the supreme authority, and one of these days you're going to die. Right. One of these days you're going to die, and you will stand before him. When you do, you're going to wish you had listened to what he said. Amen. The first thing he says to every man is, you must be born again. You must be born again. The Bible doesn't say you must be baptized. The Bible doesn't say you must be confirmed. The Bible doesn't say you must join the church. The Bible doesn't say, you know, you've got, but it, now I'm not saying those things necessarily bad. But what it does say is you must be born again. You must be born again. Well, I think I'm going to go my way. Say, the Bible tells us there's none other way given among men whereby men might be saved. It's through Jesus Christ. Through him, only through him. Hey, you've got to come to him if you're going to heaven. Well, I've got another way. Won't work. I'm not saying that on my authority. I'm saying to you what the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, I ain't going that Jewish way. You do whatever you want to do, bud. You're wrong. You'll meet God, and you'll find yourself lost for all eternity. He said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Can I say this to you? If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you must be born again. You need to be saved. You need to come to him. You need to call upon him. You need to trust him. You need to ask him to save your soul. You must do that. My friend, you're here as a Christian. You must, if you want to be satisfied and happy, learn to submit yourselves to God. You must. His authority. His authority in your life. You want to live a life of peace and security and happiness? Learn to submit to authority. Learn to submit to authority. Don't think, well, I'll fight it. I'll be a rebel all my life. Good, have a happy life then, buddy. You'll grow up bitter, unhappy, fighting everything. Go ahead. But it's going to be tough. Submit yourselves to God. Will you do it this morning? Will you do it? Have you done that today? Oh, how you need to do it. That's where it starts. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us today. Help us to see our need. Lord, help us to see ourselves as we really are. Not try to fool somebody, not try to deceive somebody, but to submit ourselves to you and realize, Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need the authority you've placed. We need the authority of the Word of God. It's important that it be there. And Lord, we're to come to you. We're to submit ourselves to you. Lord, truth be, if we'd submit to you, we wouldn't have any problem with the other authority. Lord, if there's those that have never submitted themselves to you for salvation, would you help them to come today and be saved? Deal with every heart. Deal with every life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us this morning as we sing the invitation hymn? Listen, Lord, dealing with your life. If you've never trusted Christ, would you trust him today? Would you trust him today? He'll save you if you'd come to him. Would you just trust him? Christian, you're here, but boy, you've fought against him. Submit to him. If you need to speak to me, I'll meet you here at the front. You come while we sing. Come on.
Just as I am.